This program is about unsubstantiated theories. Whenever possible, actual gamers have come forward and participated in understanding these outlandish claims. What you are about to hear is not a news broadcast. Join us. Perhaps you may be able to help prove a theory. Hello, everybody. Thank you for listening. We're going to do something a little bit different today. It is not conspiracy theories, but we're going to talk about secret levels, which are kind of conspiracies. There may be one or two levels that, you know, may or may not exist. It's up to you to decide. And with me today, I have the Rob Logan.
Hey, now.
The Geek Generation. Hey, now. Thank you so much for being here again, Rob. Oh, I think you're our first repeat guest.
Oh, my.
Ah!
I am so honored.
I need to like play some cheering sounds in the background right now. Ah! Anyway, thank you. Thank you. All right. Let's dive right in. We're talking about levels.
I have a list of 10 hidden levels in video games that I thought were interesting.
And I haven't seen this list, which I'm really excited about. So.
And I do have video for each that I can share with you later.
Yes. Okay. Will I have played any of these games?
I believe so. And if you haven't played them, you've definitely heard of them.
Okay. And how easily, like, how obvious is it that there are secret levels? Do you think people are going to know that these exist, or is it just going to be surprise?
Some of them are known for sure.
Okay. Okay.
Some of them are definitely known because some of them are story based, even though they're hidden.
All right. Well, let's dive right in.
Okay.
It's a little bit different for today, but I'm into it. I'm into it.
All right. So I'm going to start with one of the most ridiculous ones that are out there for a game called Diablo 2.
Okay.
Which
yes.
you might know what this is already because
yes.
It's so wonderful.
No, I don't know what it is.
Oh, you don't?
No.
All right. So Diablo 2 was released in 2000 for PC, if people don't know. In the first Diablo game, there were rumors of a secret cow level in the game.
What?
Yeah. I don't know where the rumors came from. I don't know if anybody knows where they came from, but everyone's like, there's a secret cow level, like just those rumors that start on the internet and then they just go all over the place. No gamers were ever able to find one, though, because there was no secret cow level in Diablo. It didn't exist. Blizzard had a little fun with the rumor, though, and they added a cheat code to StarCraft where players could enter the phrase, there is no cow level, for an instant win in the game.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. So they made it into a cheat code. But then the story progresses farther. Into Diablo 2. If a player combines Wurtzleg and a Tome of Town Portal in the Haradric Cube while standing in the Rogue encampment, a red portal will appear if that player has also killed the final boss on that difficulty. It's okay. A bit complex.
I also didn't know that, actually.
No?
I did not know that. No, I didn't know that.
So the red portal, if you step through it, goes to a secret cow level. They took the fan-created rumor.
And they made it
made it exist
legit.
For the sequel. Yes.
Well, okay, so, but...
So...
What happens in this cow level? Yeah.
The cow level is a small area full of hell bovines, which are bipedal cattle with pole arms.
Okay.
There's also a special cow in the level called the Cow King.
No.
If someone kills the Cow King for the first time on the current difficulty... All players within the cow level will forever be unable to create another portal to the secret cow level on that same difficulty ever again.
Wow. So did you troll forums to kind of like see if, you know, people have talked about this cow level or?
I've watched video of people in the cow level. It's,
oh, man.
It's on YouTube. It's crazy. So there's really like. It's a swarm of bipedal cows with pole arms.
That's...
But they move really slow. And the funniest thing about the whole thing... So I guess people would do this for experience farming, too.
Yeah,
so they would
okay.
go into the cow level because these things are really easy to kill. They drop a ton of items, mm-hmm. but they just wouldn't kill the cow king so they could keep going back.
Ooh, sneaky.
Yeah. But the funniest thing about the level is that somebody did... the mooing sound for the cows, but like put no effort into it. So they literally walk around, just go moo, Moo. Moo. That's
oh my god. It's literally just some guy at his desk.
That's
just
all it
moo,
is.
Moo.
It's so funny.
It's like that the dummy audio. We will replace this audio shortly.
Yeah. That's what it feels like. It feels like god. They did that and then they were like, you know what? This is ridiculous anyway, so let's just keep going.
That's absurd.
Yeah.
It reminds me of, did you ever play the game Danielle's Inferno?
I have not.
Oh, okay. We won't go too much into it, but you should play that game. It's hilarious. I think that you will get some great enjoyment out of it.
Is it intended as a comedy game?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Referencing Dante's Inferno and the seven. Yeah, it's fantastic.
What kind of game is it?
It's kind of, I don't want to give too much. Struggle there because I don't want to give too much away. Like there's a little bit of narrative, but it's like puzzle.
Okay.
It's not a platformer or anything, but which I know you enjoy immensely. But point and click, I'd say. Point and click adventure.
Yeah. That's cool.
But comedy based, and then there's a bit of narrative hidden in there. It's real nice.
I do love those point and click humor games.
Yeah, I do too.
The next one is a little game you might have heard of called The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the
Past. Oh, yeah. Just a little, that small game.
Little game, you know, one of the, like, fan favorite games of all time.
Yeah. You know, just no big deal.
Yeah, no big deal. 1991 for Super Nintendo. During September and October of 1990, Nintendo Power held a contest in which a randomly selected winner would get their name programmed into a future NES game.
What?
Yeah. I know. I wish I had known about this.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't have been able to fulfill the requirements because I didn't have the game required to do so. The requirements were to take a photo encountering War Mech in Final Fantasy.
Oh.
And then I haven't played any Final Fantasy games, so I know.
Wait, I'm sorry, what?
I know. I realize that's like gamer blasphemy, but I have not. Bum, bum,
bum. She cut that sound in.
My entire Final Fantasy knowledge comes from Kingdom Hearts, and that's it.
What? Oh, no. You're hurting me right now. Like, I am physically sick. All right. What if I gave you one Final Fantasy game to play?
I've been told that 7's the one I should play.
No.
No?
I was going to recommend 8. I mean, 7's great, but I would recommend 8 before 7.
Interesting.
Just because 8 was my favorite, and I'm a jerk. I also like 9, too, but it's fine. They're all good, but they're long-form RPGs, which I don't know. Yeah, do you enjoy the longer games that take, like, you know, 60 hours?
On occasion. It depends how good the game is.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, sorry. I don't mean to completely derail us.
No, tangents are great.
Tell me more.
So the requirements are take a photo encountering War Mech in Final Fantasy and then send it to Nintendo Power by October 15th, 1990. The winner of the contest was a boy named Chris Houlihan. Instead of just putting the name into the game during normal gameplay, the programmers hid it away in a secret room, which contains 45 blue rupees and a telepathy tile on the back wall.
Wow.
Now, the weird thing about this room is that it is not something that's just regularly accessible either. It was actually built as a crash prevention measure.
What?
So, if an error condition occurs while loading a screen...
Oh, no.
Generally, when the game detects an error in Link's Y coordinate, the game's programming will send Link to that room instead.
Oh, so it's just kind of like...
It's not like, just find it. It's like, the game has to screw up royally for you to get here.
I kind of feel like that's sad for the... For the person who won, because he can't purposely get to the room to see to show anyone. It's like one of those stories that you tell at parties. Oh, yeah, I'm in Zelda.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Like, nope. And they're like, uh-huh, sure you are.
And that was the state of things for a long time. But now people have devised simpler ways to get there because of the internet.
Yeah.
And now it's something of a legendary room within this legendary game.
Yeah.
So there are 5 common ways known to access the room. The most common one is involving a series of dashes using the Pegasus boots, starting from the sanctuary and going to the secret entrance to Hyrule Castle on its east side. So you like dash all the way across and then you drop into like a hole that's a secret entrance. And that's what screws up the game. And it almost always drops you into this glitch room.
That's awesome.
And upon activating the telepathy tile that's in it, a message will display that says, "My name is Chris Houlihan. This is my top secret room. Keep it between us, okay?"
That's cool. Yeah. That's really neat.
And then if you exit the room, the player is transported to the front of Link's house. And that's it.
Dun, dun, dun. I was trying to sing Gerudo Valley and it didn't work, so we'll never do that again. Let's not talk about that. That didn't happen.
Have you played Shadow of the Colossus?
I have played Shadow of the Colossus. I freaking love that game.
How much have you played Shadow of the Colossus?
All of it. And I want the HD remake of that game.
Have you gone into like New Game Plus at all?
No, I don't think I have actually. But I have been purposely trying to not play it for the last couple of years so that when I play it again, it'll be fresh because my memory's terrible.
Mm.
So, but yes, I do love that game. And you're about to tell me there's a secret thing in this game.
I am. And it's not a spoiler narratively, so don't worry.
Yep. No, I'm not worried at all. Tell me so that I can make sure that I don't miss it.
So there have been many rumored Easter eggs for Shadow of the Colossus, but one of them is absolutely real. The secret garden.
What?
There is a secret garden, and it is lovely. I've seen video of it.
What?
It's gorgeous.
Do I want to see video of it?
I don't know.
Oh.
Well, it takes a lot of work to earn, so I don't know if you want to or not.
Yeah. So tell me, what does it take to earn?
So in order to reach it, you'll need almost maximum stamina, which means you'll have to complete the game once and complete it two more times on New Game Plus to collect enough.
Woo.
So it takes at least three playthroughs just to do this.
Okay. Yeah. I don't think I care that much.
Yeah. I didn't think so.
it's not like that. It's just, you know, so much. That's a lot of work and a lot of time. Yeah, really. It's just about the time nowadays. So is the secret garden, like, how big is it? Tell me a little bit more about this garden.
So at the very start of your fourth playthrough, you leave the shrine in the center of the map.
Mm-hmm.
And outside the shrine, down some steps, you travel along the exterior. In the back left corner, you find a wall of moss that is climbable. If you've gathered all the stamina from the three prior playthroughs, you'll just barely be able to reach the top of the moss if you don't make any accidents on the way. You could be safe and like go take out some colossi on your fourth playthrough and then come back if you want to definitely have enough, but you should have enough to get up there with this. From the rounded turret, climb the last line of moss up to the very top. And the garden itself contains forbidden fruit, which you can shoot down with your bow. So you get, I haven't played Shadow of the Colossus, but you get stamina and health and stuff from eating fruit, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So I immediately thought you meant secret garden, and I thought maybe they were going to be inspired from the actual, like, you know, the secret garden.
Oh,
but
yeah,
it sounds like they're talking about the Garden of Eden.
It's a little more like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very cool. That's very interesting.
So the forbidden fruit that's in there, you can shoot it down with a bow and you can eat it, which you'll get an achievement for. But it will also drain some of your health and stamina when you do. So it's truly forbidden fruit.
Yeah. Like, don't do this.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
If you want an additional achievement while you're up there, there's a ginormous bridge that extends from the top of the same tower, a very, very long bridge, which is the entrance to the Forbidden Land. And you can reach the gate by running all the way across the massive bridge.
What?
However, in real time, it takes a full 7 minutes to run.
No, it does not. Really?
7 minutes to run from one end of this bridge all the way to the other. And at the end, there is a gap in the wall and you can see winds rushing back and forth.
Yeah.
You can try to go in there, but it's going to push you back and out. So you can't go in, but you do get an achievement for making the trek out there.
For going all the way out there.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I don't know. I see, I'm the type of player that would go all the way, maybe halfway, and then I'd go, we're never meant to hit the end of this.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd see maybe a slight distance, you know, like I've crossed a little bit, and I'd go, but it's allowing me to go. It's not like I'm hitting a wall.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I'd just spend 8 minutes going there, and then there would be nothing there, and then I'd be upset. I'd be like, well, that was a waste of my time.
Would you go back and forth, like start running back and then second guess yourself and then
yeah,
turn
I
around.
Probably would have maybe at least once. I'd be like, oh, well, I don't know. And then, well, but I'm already halfway, so I might as well.
I don't know what the significance of the golden coins is, but there's one of those at the end as well.
I can't remember what the significance of the golden coin was.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's going to bother me. I'm going to look it up. Hold on. Oh, okay. That's what I thought. Okay. I thought maybe I was crazy, but apparently gold coins is okay. I'm just gonna read this. Everybody had been finding a large number of collectible sparkles that they started calling gold coins, but nobody was sure what they were or what they did or even how many were in the game. Slowly, a number of clues started trickling out, such as a line in the credits that referred to Nomad Colossus, which is that's a YouTuber that did Shadow of Colossus videos, like wonderful videos. Huh. And they would all, they also referenced the 79 steps to enlightenment. And once the game came out, they continued with the hunt, but it looks like it would lead to the long rumored but never proven 17th Colossus, but it looks like they don't know what it does.
Oh, wow.
Oh, it says if you don't want to be spoiled, don't read any further. So I'm not going to.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
So there is an answer, but we don't know what it is yet.
Hmm.
Or at least I don't know what it is. So that's interesting. Maybe you can help solve a mystery.
The next one is a little game called Star Fox.
I know Star Fox.
Which came out in 1993 for Super Nintendo.
Yes. I did not have a Super Nintendo. Did you have a Super Nintendo?
I still have a Super Nintendo. I still have my original Super Nintendo.
I have one now, but I didn't have one growing up. We had, we had the Sega Genesis. It was weird. It was always not quite Nintendo. We always had this battle with, you know, the whatever was not the Super Nintendo. Mm-hmm. We did have an original Nintendo, but then after that, my dad was like, no, we got to try all the latest and greatest technology and do Sega CD, not Genesis, because CD.
Oh, no, he fell for it.
Yeah, well, yeah, he did. Well, I loved it, actually. Yeah. It was great. But I still have that, but the laser doesn't work anymore, unfortunately. However, he was the type that had like laser discs and all that kind of stuff instead of
early adopter.
Yep. He was an early adopter. Yep.
Yeah. My Super Nintendo is my last Nintendo console. I haven't had one since that.
What? You never had a Nintendo 64?
Nope. Never had it.
What?
I went to PC gaming after Nintendo. Yep. And then then I went to PlayStation like in college, like way late.
Wow.
It was PlayStation 2 was already out. And then I went backwards and then back into PC gaming after that.
So I did a little bit of PC gaming, but it was point and click adventure, like Indiana Jones. I learned how to type using the Mario typing game.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And then I think I played Final Fantasy VII. On the PC.
Oh, wow.
But then I got a PlayStation because it was when I was visiting my dad. My dad had the PC and, you know, my parents were divorced. So when I went home to my mom, she didn't have a computer that could run games like that. So eventually I switched to PlayStation and then I didn't get into PC gaming until I started streaming.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I used to play over my modem with one of my friends. Yeah. We would play like Duke Nukem 3D and Command and Conquer and all that stuff.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was really hard on myself in the beginning of, you know, streaming and playing games on PC because I'd struggle a bit. And then I remember a couple of months ago, I started playing The Last of Us.
Oh, yeah.
For the first time. And I played that on PlayStation. And man, I did so well. I was getting headshots. It was crazy. And I remember thinking, oh, yeah, OK, I don't completely suck at games all the time. I'm just very used to a controller and the PlayStation and those kind of mechanics. Mm. So it kind of felt good to kick ass at a game. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
No.
Go on.
No. So,
tell us more. Tangents.
In Star Fox, there's a super trippy level, and to get to it, you need to enter Route 3's asteroid belt. During this level, there are some giant asteroids throughout. If you destroy the second giant asteroid that's on the right side of the screen, a weird space bird creature appears, and you need to fly directly into its chest.
Wait, what?
Yeah. So, this is half of the trippy. The trippy comes after we actually get in there. But yeah, a giant space bird will come out. After a little bit, it'll fly towards you and you have to collide with its chest and just fly straight on into it.
Yeah, but who would do that? They'd probably shoot it first,
probably,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So doing this will warp you to a new level called Out of This Dimension.
Oh, wow.
You'll see a message from General Pepper as he's trying to contact Fox, which reads, come in, Arwings. Fox, where are you? We need you to protect Corneria. So, like, Fox is lost, storyline-wise, at this point. He's just gone.
Oh, wow.
The surreal level you're taken to is all wavy, with cartoony-looking stars and smiling moons. The only regular enemy appears to be a flat piece of paper that flies towards you, just flipping end over end. The level's boss is a giant slot machine.
Oh, my God. That's kind of random.
It's super random. To defeat it, the player must shoot the arm until the machine lands on all three sevens, causing it to self-destruct.
Who thought of that level? I would have loved to have been in that room where there. Was it like we want to do a secret level? Or do you think it was, you know, somebody really close to maybe the director pitched this level idea and they were like, oh, you know, we're going to make that a secret level. So special and so secret, you know, just one of those
situations.
It's
so wavy, the background, that it's hard to look at when you're even looking at the thing. Like, I had a hard time spotting the enemies because it's just visually distracting, the whole thing. When you do beat the slot machine, though, the background distortion will cease and the credits roll for the game.
Oh.
Until misaligned letters to spell the end appear on screen. You can shoot those letters, which will reorient them and make them fly away. But unfortunately, there's no real end. Enemies will just keep flying at you until you're either killed or you decide to reset the game. It's
oh, my God, that would drive me nuts. I would forever think that I never beat it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would always die, and I just think, oh, God.
Mm-hmm. Same. I can't stand levels like that. Just
nope, I need there to be an end. Mm-hmm. Yep, I need there to be an end. 100%.
One of the reasons I don't like MMORPGs. I need there to be an end.
Oh, but there kind of is an end in some MMORPGs.
Some.
Like, you get to your end of the story quest and your max level and whatnot.
Yeah.
Well, I guess not really, because they always want you to play, so there's always some sort of expansion or something.
Yeah, it never really ends, and that's tough.
This is the game that never ends.
The next one is actually a game that I used to play a lot on my modem, like I was just saying. A game called Command & Conquer Red Alert.
Oh, yeah!
Came out 1996 for PC.
Do you remember that ridiculous techno song where they spliced in? This is absurd. No one's going to know what I'm talking about. But there was a song that came out around 2000, maybe something like that, that had the Red Alert sound effects in it. And it was kind of rare because, you know, obviously any kind of dance music didn't really have video game sounds in it. Mm-hmm. But it was like a huge deal among me and my friends because we're all nerds and we're like, yeah, Red Alert. It's like nodding at geek culture.
Yeah, I don't know that. I love the music in Red Alert and I have some of the soundtrack, but.
Oh, it was just an absurd dance track that had some things in it, like bits of Red Alert's music and stuff like that. I'll see if I can find it.
I'd probably dig it. So Command & Conquer Red Alert didn't include just a secret level, but an entire secret campaign.
What?
In order to access the campaign, you first had to have the Counter-Strike expansion pack installed, so it wouldn't work without that. Then when the player holds down the shift key while clicking on the speaker graphic in the main menu of the game, the secret campaign will launch. Titled, It Came From Red Alert, the secret campaign involves giant ants that have escaped from a deserted Soviet research laboratory somewhere in Europe.
What?
Playing as the Allies, your job is to eliminate this new faction.
Okay.
It's like a spoof of a horror movie.
That is awesome, though.
I've actually played it, and it's a lot of fun.
I was going to ask you that. It sounded like you knew what it was. Now, did you play it after you discovered that there was a secret level, or did you play it back then?
I played it back then.
Oh, wow. So wait, how did you guys find out that there was a secret level? Because the internet didn't exist then.
I mean, I was on the internet back then.
No, I know, but forums and stuff didn't really exist the way they do now. So
I don't remember how I heard about it, honestly. Like, it's not like I was accidentally holding shift and clicking things. I mean,
it's not like you had a Game Shark, and it's not like, I sometimes wonder how we heard about things back then or how we got through some very difficult. Like, I remember Banjo-Kazooie being stuck at a specific part in that game and calling, because back then they used to have phone numbers that you would call for help, tips, and they would tell you, they'd give you clues and hints, and then, you know, if you really wanted, they'd give you the solution. But I just think that's crazy. Now you can just look it up online.
Oh yeah, like one of my best friends that I grew up with in like elementary school and stuff, we bonded over like sharing game things. Like, we were both playing Day of the Tentacle, and we were like, how do we get by this part? Because we couldn't look it up anywhere, really.
I did that as well. One of my good friends and I, we separately, so we'd go home from school and we'd play through Suikoden 2, which is one of my favorite games of all time. And we actually had a podcast episode, 2 hours of content, but the mics were messed up. So unfortunately, we weren't able to share that, but I'm going to share a little tidbit, which is that I didn't know that there were multiple endings to this game because, again, back then, obviously the internet existed, but it wasn't like there was forums for the games, or if there were, it just didn't occur really to you to look for that,
right?
Because it wasn't such a common occurrence, which I feel like some people don't really, people who never grew up without the internet, the way it is now, don't really understand when I say we didn't think to look for that, because that's not how you use the internet back then. But anyway, so I didn't realize there were multiple endings to this game until like 3 or 4 late years after I played it. It might have even been 6, and somebody brought up the game and they're like, oh man, that's great. But, you know, did you know you can save this one particular character? And I went, what? What? And I'm not kidding you, Rob. I immediately burst into tears.
Oh my God.
Because it was like such a powerful game for me. And I did cry all the way through the end of the game. It was just so moving.
Yeah.
So just to know that there was, and it wasn't because of saving a character or anything like that. It was literally just that there was more to my favorite game and I didn't even know it. And then, you know, I could immediately go home and just get more of the game, you know, more that I didn't realize was there. Oh yeah, I did. Absolutely. Okay. I immediately went back to it and I played it all the way through. And now I think it's safe to say I've played the game like, you know, several times and I know everything that can happen, but I think it's just pretty neat that you can sometimes find out, oh my gosh, there's more to this than I knew. So I do secret levels.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. The next one is for 2003's Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time.
Ooh, I love Prince of Persia.
Such a good game. Such a good trilogy of games, actually.
And the music.
And I was into the Godsmack music being like in it. I know some people weren't, but I was totally down for that.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. And also the dialogue was really good in the later. I think it's the most recent Prince of Persia.
It was.
The sass between the two of them.
A friend of mine from college, her older sister does Farrah's voice.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. Unlike the others on the list so far, the next one is unlocked with a series of button presses. When starting a new game in Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time, do not enter the room at the beginning. So you start on like that balcony.
Oh.
And its first thing is like, WASD to move or use the whatever to move around. You go off the balcony into the first room in the game. But if you don't do that and instead you enter a series of buttons, which changes based on whatever platform you're playing on, you'll be transported to a side-scrolling recreation of the first level of 1989's original Prince of Persia.
That's neat.
Yes.
I love stuff like that.
Oh, I love the nods, the throwbacks and all that stuff. Within the level, you'll come across a room full of penguin books and pop ice cream, along with a wall-sized photo of the development team.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, I love the
sliding in that stuff, yeah.
Not only the secret and the throwback, but also the, like, kind of respect for the team.
Here's us, yeah. That's really cool.
I feel like they don't do that as much anymore, like, credit the devs.
They don't so much anymore. Have you played What Remains of Edith Finch?
I have not yet. It's on my list of two plays.
Okay. Well, A, you should do that immediately. And B, they do that really well. They nod at the team pretty well in the end credits. So, but that's all I can say now because you haven't played it.
The next one is a very popular game, Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
Okay. So I've started this game.
Okay.
But I've never finished it.
Really?
And I am okay to hear secret levels, but it's amazing.
I've heard such good things about it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. Oh, you haven't played it either?
I haven't, no.
But you're a platformer guy.
I know. Well, this came out for the first PlayStation, so
yeah,
I didn't get a lot of time with that. I think I only have, like, honestly, 3 or 4 PS1 games.
Okay. I think that they have it now for the PS4, that you can download it on the PS4.
I believe so. I don't...
Yeah, like a remastered edition.
I was going to say, I don't know if this is in there, but if it's not, it should be because it's narrative-based. So this is kind of a major one. First of all, people love this game, just like they love Link to the Past.
Mm-hmm.
But Castlevania Symphony of the Night holds one of the greatest secret levels in video game history. In order to enter it, a player must acquire and equip the Holy Glasses from Maria before entering the final boss battle against Richter Belmont. Thanks to the Holy Glasses, you'll now see a green orb hovering above Richter's head. Instead of defeating him, target and destroy the orb. Doing so releases a dark priest named Shaft.
What?
Who has been mind-controlling Richter the entire game.
No!
Yes.
So wait, you can go through this whole game, you can beat the bad guy, yada yada, and then your best friend can come to school the next day and be like, guess what?
Yep.
Like, did you hit the orb, though?
Yeah.
And you're
which
like,
you wouldn't
what?
Even know about if
yeah,
you didn't
I guess
find
if you
the,
didn't
glasses,
have the glasses.
And you would have just killed Richter.
Oh, man.
So.
Oh, man.
If you,
that's a reveal.
If
that's
you
awesome.
Shatter the green orb, mm-hmm. and as a reward for saving him, you'll be granted access to what players both call the reverse castle or the inverted castle.
Oh, I've heard of the inverted castle because of a soundtrack,
okay.
a song.
Okay.
Yep.
So the reverse castle is a vertically mm-hmm. flipped version of the normal castle map with different color schemes, area names, music, items, enemies, and bosses. It is literally the castle level of the game just flipped over. So that means the designers built this level not just to be a good normal level.
But they built it to be a good reversed one
yeah,
as well.
That you could flip
wow,
over.
Wow, that is so cool.
From a design perspective, that is mind-blowing.
That's okay. So that one's my favorite so far.
Yeah.
That's really good. Yeah. I think if I were going to rate that, that's the one that I would rate the highest.
And the story continues through that because within the reverse castle, Alucard, who you play as, must find the 5 body parts of Dracula in order to challenge him and obtain one of the possible good endings for the game.
Oh, wow.
So there are multiple ones, but that's how you get... I would assume what is the best one.
All right. Well, I'm going to have to remember to do that when I play through that game. Finally,
it looks like a game I want to play, although I was never really big on the first Castlevania. I found it to be kind of
yeah.
clunky.
Well, skip that one then and just go straight to this one. It is almost Halloween season.
Oh, that's true. Good point.
Good game to play.
The next one is Sonic Adventure 2.
I love Sonic. I don't think I played that one, though.
I don't think the Adventure series was highly lauded compared to
oh, yeah.
the early Sonic games.
Well, I happen to like a Sonic game that most people hate, so...
Which one?
Sonic CD.
Oh, yeah.
See, everybody's like, oh, that's not a Sonic game is usually what I hear when I say that, but...
This one came out in 2001 mm-hmm. for multiple systems. Mm-hmm. If you put the time and effort into obtaining all 180 emblems and getting A ranks on everything in the game, you'll be rewarded with a 3D recreation of the classic Green Hill Zone level from the original Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's a great. I guess it's insanely hard to get all that stuff, especially A ranks on everything. But and as more of a classic nod, when Sonic jumps or destroys an enemy within that level, the sound effects from the original level are played instead of the new sounds that they had for Sonic Adventure 2.
Wow. So, okay, so see, I really like it when I really enjoy when games or devs really do the throwback to kind of their old stuff, but you kind of maybe know that they did it to just see what they were capable of.
Mm.
Like, I guess I think to myself when they sat down with this game, they may have said, you know, this team hasn't worked on a Sonic game before. So our little mini project is to recreate the level from the first Sonic so that you kind of get an idea
mm-hmm.
of, you know, what we're looking for and what Sonic should be like. And then after they were done, they went, oh, well, let's just make this a secret level and a throwback since we did it anyway to kind of, you know, I don't even know if that's
it's
true.
Funny
but...
you should say that because when
oh,
I was
what?
When I was doing, I don't know if it's true or not, but when I was mm-hmm. doing research for this, I stumbled across one person who was doing a let's play of this level and they were like, it doesn't really feel finished. It feels like it's kind of bare bones and they were testing out something and had like the same exact thoughts from
yeah.
playing that level that you just said.
Yeah, because I think from a design perspective, that's how I would approach it. Mm. Or even just, you know, if I had a team of people and I was on a team and I had never worked on a Sonic game, I would want to try to recreate just to see kind of what it would be like in 3D and whatnot. So,
yeah,
that's cool.
And that would make sense to do the Green
yeah.
Valley Zone.
Very, very cool.
We have two more.
Yes, let's do it.
All right. The first one is from a game called Dying Light, which is a lot more recent, 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Have you played this one?
I have played this one.
Oh.
Wait, so just to make sure, this is the one where it's you and a friend, right? And well, or it's multiplayer?
It's I don't know. I don't think it's multiplayer. It's a first person open world kind of zombie shooter.
I definitely feel like I've played this game, but maybe I haven't. Maybe I'm thinking of a different
one. I don't know
one.
If it's
There's
multiplayer.
There's so many
though.
Dying and lights and
yeah. There's lights and dying.
There's lights and dying and death and dead space and dead zone and evil zone. And
yeah
there's a lot
so
of
many. In the first person zombie shooter Dying Light, there's an entrance mm-hmm. to a hidden level which can be found in a place called Old Town. Head to the southwest corner of the map, and on one rooftop tucked inside a chimney, you'll find a familiar looking green pipe. If you pry off the cap, the activation prompt will now read World 1-1. Entering the pipe, you'll be transported to a first-person recreation of World 1-1 from Super Mario Brothers complete with zombie Goombas and a flagpole you can slide down at the end.
No, I'm playing this game. I'm playing this game tomorrow.
It's kind of creepy, too, though, because, like, it's not a first person to where it stretches out completely in front of you. Like, you have a single block's width stretching in front, and then there's just, like, a river of blood on both sides because it's still...
Oh, my God.
It's still this zombie game.
Yeah, of course.
And you can't jump on the Goombas either. You have to just jump over them.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. They don't have the music playing or anything,
do they?
Yeah, because they can't do that.
But when
you
slide down the flagpole, there's, like, explosions at the end instead of the fireworks.
Oh, wow. That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Also, like in the original Super Mario Brothers, there's a hidden block that you can reveal by jumping into it. If you climb on top of this pink block, you can pick up blueprints for what's called the Paiza suit, which will allow you to glide around the game in Tanuki suit fashion.
Tanuki suit. That's awesome. That's very cool.
Yeah. I guess you glide very short distances with the Paiza suit on, but or Paiza suit. I don't know how it's pronounced.
Yeah.
And then if you're too high up, you just take ridiculous fall damage because you can't go that far.
It's like you can't fly. You're in a raccoon suit. What were you thinking was going to happen?
And the video of it is funny. It does look like you're stretching it because it's first person. You just see your arms stretched out and then all of a sudden you glide for a little, then just plummet.
Oh, my God.
So it seems like more of a joke than anything, but still good. Last one. And this one's weird because there's a lot of conflicting information on it. And it refers to multiple things. So I don't know. This might be something for people out there to test for themselves.
Yeah. Ooh, okay.
Okay. So
this is like a challenge.
It is. And it's from perhaps one of the most famous video games ever. Super Mario Brothers.
Oh, I was going to try to guess, but I wouldn't have guessed that. And you're right. That is far more famous. Okay.
So
hit me.
There is a well-known thing in Super Mario Brothers called the Minus World. Have you heard of that before?
No, I haven't actually.
Okay. So the Minus World that you can access in Super Mario Brothers, to get that, you have to perform a weird jump at the end of the pipe at the end of World 1-2. So the first level where you're underground.
Oh, I think I do know. I think I've done this before, but I didn't know what it was called.
It's not the warp zone, though. That thinking of because you can run across the rooftop and you can get to that warp zone room.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing that people know of. The minus room or the minus world includes that room. But to get to it, you have to do this like weird squat jump and then you end up like phasing through the wall instead of going.
Oh,
over
so it looks
it.
Like a glitch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And then you go into the first warp pipe. And when the minus world starts. It starts here, and it's called that because instead of having the normal world designation, it just says minus one. There's no, like, world in front of it. It's just dash one.
Oh.
The minus world level is an underwater level that has no end. Exiting through the pipe at the end of the level just drops you back to the beginning of it.
Oh, my God. What a nightmare.
And that can go on and on.
Well, obviously, because you'd just be like, how do I get out of here? Yeah. And then you get frustrated and quit the game.
Yeah. But that's the well-known one. There's something crazier.
No.
Yeah. There's apparently another hack that allows you to access even more levels. Specifically, 256 of them.
What? No.
And the process for getting into these is bonkers. So, there's a few different things you need. First.
Is this real?
It seems to be, and there seems to even be like technical explanations as to why this works.
Okay.
People have posted articles about like the, because when you hear it, you're going to be like, this is not real. It's too outlandish. So the first thing you need is a top loading NES.
Okay.
It can work with the side loading ones, the original ones, but it's not as easy because of part of the process.
Okay.
So you have a top loading NES.
So this isn't like something they designed into the game saying
no.
We want 200. Okay.
I don't
all right.
think so.
Sorry. Go on. I'm ready.
So you start by playing Super Mario Brothers. At any point during the first level, pull the cartridge out.
Whoa.
But leave the power on.
Okay.
Which, you know,
you're not supposed
on an
to
NES,
that.
One, you're not supposed to do. And two, it doesn't actually like do anything. It might show you some glitchy stuff on the screen. But it doesn't
it's already loaded it, right?
Break the game. You could put it back in. Next, you need a copy of NES Tennis.
What?
You put tennis into the NES.
This is absurd.
And you press the reset button and start a singles game. It sounds like copypasta is what it sounds
like. That does. That sounds not real.
No.
But we're going to have to try this. I have the top loader.
Do you?
I don't have a copy of yeah, I do.
Oh.
But I don't have a copy of the tennis game.
So after a minute or so of playing tennis, pull out the tennis cartridge and put
Super Mario Brothers
back in.
You pull the cartridge out, you start a match, and then you play it for a couple of minutes.
Yes.
And then you're like, oh, nope, stop, sorry.
And then you pull that out too.
Whoa, okay.
And you put Super Mario Brothers back in and hit the reset button again.
Okay.
Now, when Super Mario Brothers reloads, it will load into one of the hundreds of secret levels in the game, a random one each time.
What?
And the reason that it seems more plausible is you can access them much easier by using a Game Genie. So they're in there.
So, but what are they?
They're bonkers. They're crazy. So the one...
Like, is there tennis rackets and stuff? Or, like, what is it?
There's nothing from tennis. It's almost like it resorts the assets from Mario Brothers and it doesn't know what to do with them.
Oh, okay.
So, like... The one I saw,
no.
The one I saw was above ground. It looked a little bit like World 1-1,
mm-hmm.
except the colors were gray, like you were inside of a castle. The flaming, like the rotating flames from the castle, if that makes sense, are at the top of the screen. The entire background is gray, except where there are coins. The sky is blue behind the coins on like the blocks where those go. So like there are definitely assets that are messed up and broken and they were swimming through this level on top of that
in the sky
as if it were underwater, and they were having like the bubbles and doing the swimming motions.
Oh my gosh, that sounds amazing. Could you imagine just booting up, like maybe somebody else did this and or your sibling or something, and then you come in, you sit down, you put in Mario, and you're just sitting there and you're like, what is going on? What happened to Mario? What is this?
Yeah.
Oh man, I think you'd think you were going insane.
It's completely bonkers.
Or something. That's crazy.
Completely bonkers. And I do have, I found a YouTube video, and it could be faked because, you know, it's video and YouTube. And
yeah.
But it shows like someone going through the process, at least the screen capture of it, and showing like things glitch out and stuff. And it's crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But also awesome.
Yeah.
I now immediately, this is why I'm crazy. I get so immersed into things. I'm already invested in this idea. And now I want to write fan fiction about pixelated characters that live in this broken world.
Ooh.
And are like, oh yeah, but we can't get to, you know, oh, Mario over there, the actual non-broken version of the game. We're stuck in the secret levels.
What happens if your character living inside of the game, like when they pull the cartridge out, you're like,
yeah,
where's the world?
Oh no. All right. We just did a conspiracy theory fan fiction. Top that. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's wild.
That's, yeah. Okay, so I take back what I said. This one was definitely the best. 271, you said?
256.
256. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. That's nuts.
That's the word.
Yeah. Well, anyway, thank you very much for sharing those with me.
Happy to.
Those 10 levels, 10 secret levels in video games. And guys, I know this was a little bit different than what we normally do, but I really enjoyed it, and I might like to do more factoid episodes like this in between, because I know sometimes our episodes can get pretty heavy, so it might be nice to break it up with some comedy and some lighthearted fun once in a while. And with me today has been Rob. Rob, would you like to tell everybody where they can find you?
Sure. You can find me streaming on Twitch at twitch.tv/thegeekgeneration, or you can just go to thegeekgeneration.com. If you like podcasts, we have one. We have two of those.
Two. They're amazing.
We have the Geek Generation, and mm-hmm. we have the now resurrected and currently running Random Movie Club.
It's amazing.
I'm
on one episode. I'm just going to throw that out there. There is an episode that I'm on. It's Truman Show. And I tried to deep dive and Rob had to cut me off. He's like, oh, we've hit our 30-minute mark. And I'm like, what? Really? Already? But I could talk about Truman Show for 4 hours.
We still went pretty deep for the time.
Yeah, we did. We did. I was amazed, actually. Bite-sized deep conversation. Mm-hmm. It was nuts. We'll have to have you on our episode so that we don't go over for an hour. Oh, God. Well, once again, thank you, Rob, for joining us today. And thank you, divers, for being a part of it. I'm actually really thrilled that we decided to break up some of the heavier episodes with some fun. So I hope you guys enjoy that as well. The Deep Dive podcast is brought to you by PBTV. That's me. And you can find us at deepdivecast.com as well as on Twitter and Instagram at Deep Dive Cast. And if you like what you hear, please consider rating and reviewing The Deep Dive on iTunes. And if you'd like to, you can also support the show by visiting us on Patreon at Pumpkinberry. Patrons receive various perks like monthly black and white wallpapers, high quality versions of episodes, bonus episode content, and of course, yes, my favorite part, the knowledge that you directly are keeping the Deep Dive afloat. See you next time, divers. The Deep Dive podcast is proudly part of the Geek Generation Network. For more podcasts about your favorite geeky things like games or your favorite shows, browse our whole library at thegeekgeneration.com.